Mass that was in Canada, and I'm joined today with Faith Goldie, who was actually there in a cameo appearance, though somewhat in disguise. You were in your tratty disguise protesting the Satanic Mass. We've got some pictures of that. How are you, Faith?
Hey, T-Marsh. I'm doing incredibly well. I'm so thankful to be here on your podcast. So thanks for having me on.
Awesome. So we were chatting back and forth about the Satanic Mass because we did a video earlier this week, and you were like, hey, guess what? I was there. Right?
It was a secret. And we're going to get into it, but they actually used a photo of me for a lot of the coverage, not realizing it was me.
Yeah, so for those that, you know, everybody knows, Faith Goldie is rather well known in Canada. She ran for mayor of Toronto as a conservative candidate. She's very outspoken against the Canadian president. And they probably would have had a heyday if they knew it was you there.
Oh, they would have freaked out, and I would have probably eclipsed some of the headlines, which is what I did not want to do. Right. I wanted this to be a battle between God versus Satan. We all know who won before and wins forevermore. And right, I didn't want to have any sort of part of it while it was happening. And plus, I just wanted to be able to focus on the business and work that needed to be done, which was hardcore prayers, invoking our Blessed Mother, in some cases, throwing some holy salt on some rogue proddies. And so, yeah, there was work to be done. I didn't want to have CTV in my face asking me about politics when we were talking right about something way more important.
Yeah, so for those that missed it, there in Ottawa, there was a Satanic Mass. We covered it earlier this week. They had an unbaptism rite where they renounced baptisms. You can't get unbaptized because it's an indelible character. But they had an unbaptism rite. They had a Satanic Mass, and they had a sock drive for the homeless, and then they had a burlesque show. What an evening. So a lot of good Catholics showed up. How many people were there, Faith?
Okay, from our side, it was so estimates said 120 outside of the Coven, but my guys who were with me, we did a crowd estimate at the Notre Dame Parish, the steps outside of the church, and we're talking about 300 people. Considering that the Coven had about 50 wow people who signed up for this Black Mass, we outnumbered them, carry the one, 6-1, I guess. T-Marsh, awesome. Before we go on, we have to pray the Pater Noster.
We do. We need to get into our prayers.
Yeah, we have to protect ourselves before we get into this combo.
So I'm glad that you know that we rocked the Pater Noster at the beginning. Yeah. So I'll put on the screen for everyone to follow along, and let us pray. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Pater Noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, advenient regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen.
Amen.
Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So yeah, you're a Ukrainian girl. You know that? Can you do the Our Father in Ukrainian? I'm not going to ask you to do it online.
Oche nash, I can do the Greek Patrimon.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, the Greek, the Latin. I heard your chit-chat yesterday about how these are, you know, kind of special languages, how they were nailed above our Lord on the cross, and right. I'm all about it. And you got me Latin pilled, T-Marsh, I have to say, coming from the Byzantine Catholic, Latin right? Pilled. That's why we do three fingers always.
That's what I do, you know. Faith.
I know my aunt was the one who actually pointed it out to me. She was like, Taylor Marshall does the three fingers. And I was like, but he's Roman Catholic. Why does he do that? So, Kate, how did you get the real?
So actually, the old Latins, the Romans used to do it.
See, they I used didn't to know do that. It.
So for everybody watching, let me get in the camera. So there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then there's the two natures of Christ, divine That's nature, right. human nature, united in the hypostatic union. That's so this right. is how you do it, folks. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Latins got crazy and they just did this.
No, it looks like they're swatting flies.
I know.
Half the time they're like, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, yeah, or they're like some this. Like jazz artist like scatting or something. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on?
It's this.
And have some finger discipline.
And also, like, the Greeks are still usually pretty good. Like when I was in Jerusalem, I was watching everyone, and you know, the Greeks still will go down to their belly button and make a real cross. Whereas you see Catholics, they do this. They go down to like their neck.
Yeah.
So it's really just like an upside down T. It's kind of lazy. So, folks, when you make the sign of the cross, this is a serious prayer. Mm-hmm. I was looking this up, Faith. You know, the old indulgences prior to Vatican II, they actually had times placed on them. So to kiss the Pope's ring was an indulgence of 300 days. So that was equivalent of doing penance for 300 days in the old way. Guess how much the indulgence is for making the sign of the cross?
I don't know.
3 years.
Yes.
Triple.
That's what I'm talking about.
So kiss the ring of the Pope, you get 300 days. Make the sign of the cross, saying in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, 3 years. If you do it with holy water, it jumps up to 7 years every time you do it.
Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about.
So that shows that the cross is super, super powerful. The sign of the cross.
It's a blessing. Absolutely. Yeah. I remember growing up and going to, you know, Greek and Ukrainian church, all of the above. I'm kind of from two rites, an ecumenical family, if you will, of Greek Orthodox and Ukrainian/Byzantine Greek Catholic. And we used to, you know, there's a certain way where the rod, you know, lacks the child spoils. So sometimes we were kind of let's say holy feared into believing in God and holy feared into behaving properly.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely. Nope. And we used to, I remember my grandmother telling us, you can't let the devil get in there. You have to keep it nice and tight.
Oh, that's they say
it.
That?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's it. Wow. It has to be nice and tight. And so sometimes I'll see when I go to RC Mass, and I found an amazing parish now, you know, they kind of look at me. And we do it in the opposite way. Like, we go from right to left. Right? From
dyslexic.
You know,
hey,
east
so
to
you
west,
know the Greeks. I want to get into this debate. The Greeks and the Russians and the Ukrainians, they say the original way to do it was that way.
Right.
Father. And then instead of going here, they go here to here, and then they let their fall down.
That's right.
However, if you go to Jerusalem, if you go to Jerusalem and you watch the Copts, the Coptics, the Armenians and the Syriac Orthodox, who are non-Chalcedonians, they're very old and they're very liturgically conservative. They do it the Roman way.
Okay.
So
I feel like I wish my sister was on this cast.
So the Greeks, the Romans, the Greeks, the Russians, the Ukrainians, the Bulgarians, all the Slavs, they all do it this way. But the Roman Catholics, the Egyptians, that's the Copts, the Ethiopians, the Armenians, and the Syrians, they all do it the same way as the Romans. So if we took a vote, we win.
And we believe in democracy, right?
But I will say, anytime I visit an Eastern Catholic church, I do it their way.
Oh, that's very cool of you.
I do.
I'm getting a little bit of feedback. It's not, I mean, I can handle it just so long as your audience isn't getting any sort of feedback whatsoever. Are they hearing an echo when I chat?
You're getting feedback from me?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay,
I can hear my own voice coming back. No, it's okay. Don't worry about it. All right, very cool.
So you went to this satanic mass to protest it. You said it was Catholics outnumbered Protestants 6-1, and there was your hand was featured. I'm going to put this on the screen because it's so awesome. This is Faith. So they didn't even know that this is they're featuring Faith Goldie.
Does this look familiar?
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, you actually have the same. Is it the same nail polish even?
Okay, so thank you for chirping me on the need for a manicure. That's why I came to Dr. Taylor Marshall's cast. Wow, this is a really unexpected experience. Yes, it is.
So I'm surprised they didn't like dox your nail polish. Like, who is this woman holding up a crucifix?
With neon orange.
Yeah. And then they notice, oh, that's Faith Goldie. And then they have a big story.
Well, I was wearing my Clark Kent to Superman mantilla.
Yes, you had the invisibility cloak.
How, 1 second, Faith Goldie. Another second, librarian who was homeschooled discerning
Tratty
a call
librarian.
To the Carmelites.
Yeah, here we have, actually, someone caught a picture of you here. Let me see if I can find it. Here it is. Yeah, so there you are with some people. There's a guy's got he's got a Divine Mercy icon. Another guy's got a crucifix. There you are. You've got, you're very tratty here. You've got plenty of denim on. That's number one. You got to have denim or scapular brown clothing on. So you have denim on. You've got the long mantilla and the librarian glasses. So did no one recognize you, right?
No, absolutely no one did. I only kind of took off my disguise, if you will. I mean, I wear a mantilla to church, etc. But I took off my disguise after the satanic mass was done. And I should say that maybe we can go through some of the details, but we did outlast them. The Catholics did outlast them. And we were there in more numbers than any other religious group, if you will, who was protesting, the only other group being the Proddy. So do you mind if I go a little bit through like a timeline of what happened?
Because yeah, I mean, we did a whole show on it, but we just went off the reports. But you were there. So give us like from the very beginning, I guess y'all assembled at a Catholic church.
And I need to tell you this because you're going to freak out at this story. All right. So we were set to meet on the steps of Notre Dame, which is this beautiful, beautiful church. I mean, in the sort of architecture you wish every single Roman Catholic church would have, let alone here in North America. So we were set to meet there about 9:30, and the Satanic Mass was set to take place at 10 p.m. We were all going to walk over and pray the rosary. Well, my guys and I, we get in, we traveled 5-6 hours from the Greater Toronto Area into Ottawa, our nation's capital. And so we arrive a little bit early and we think, okay, let's go to Mass ahead of time. So we're there for 5 p.m. evening Mass on the Saturday evening. We go in, and God forgive me, I'm not making fun or, you know, poking any fun at any of your priest's sons, but like, we need to discuss this. So I go into Mass, we're in my mantilla, we are there, we are at the source and summit of our faith, everything is great. The homily goes through, no mention of the Black Mass. The supplications, the intercessions, the Lord hear our prayers, go, no mention whatsoever of the Black Mass. And so I tell my parents, hold on a second, because maybe Father doesn't realize that there is a Black Mass that is happening around the corner from the church and that people are meeting on his steps in a couple of hours to pray the Satan away from this town. I said, maybe that's it. Okay, wait for it. So then I was like, hey, Father, guess what? There is the first, this is really important. This is the first public Black Mass in Canadian history. It is not insignificant, okay? And it's happening in our nation's capital. And I was like, maybe you don't know this. I said, but it's actually happening just around the corner from you. And he goes, yes, I know. And I was like, oh, that's so weird because I didn't hear you mention it in your homily or in the supplications. And he opens up the, I don't know the proper terminology, but you know, like the book, like the little book that they have with, you know, the little printout of what they're supposed to pray for. And he said, it's not written down here. And I was like, oh, it's not written down. I said, it's not written down. So of course you're not going to mention it. And he could tell that I was getting like a little bit. And my friends at this point are so embarrassed. They're like, Faith, please just calm down.
Now, are you still in your traddy librarian costume?
Oh, 100%. Okay, all right. All right. Yeah. And I also,
I mean, does he know it's Faith Goldie or not?
No, probably not.
He's just like, and there's so, this crazy woman in a mantilla bothering me.
Crazy, like, yeah, like just like towering woman. Because he was this small little priest guy and I'm like 6 feet tall. And I was like, well, maybe you didn't know. And so, and then I said, oh, it's not in there. And he said, look, this isn't my usual parish. I'm just visiting. I said, Father, I said, this is a moment of spiritual battle. I don't care where you're from. Okay, we're all called to be at the front lines. And you literally are at the front lines right here. And he said, I don't believe in spiritual battle.
Oh, and I was like, dang.
And so all my friends, I mean, you read the statistics of like this many people don't believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Kate, dude. Taylor, I read your book and I'm like, where are these weirdo priests? Like I'm so sheltered by going to amazing churches. I don't need them.
Hashtag infiltration.
Yeah, hashtag infiltration. And then so he says, I don't believe in spiritual battle. And at this point, my buddies go from being embarrassed to being like get at him, like give it to him right now, Faith. And so I was like, and I said, you don't believe in spiritual battle. I said, what do you believe in? He said, I believe that Jesus did a lot for our salvation. And so we're called to evangelize. And I said, part of our faith is the church militant. We are to engage in these things. And he kind of went on again, oh, well, Jesus did so much for our salvation. And I said, Father, I said, do you believe in hell? And he says, I believe in heaven. And my eyes lit up.
This episode is brought to you by Infiltration by Taylor Marshall, the plot to destroy the Catholic Church from within. People, these priests, they don't believe.
They don't believe in hell. And I said, you don't believe
in
hell.
When he says salvation from what?
Yeah. From
economic problems?
I don't even know. I don't even know. And I said, you don't believe in hell? He said, don't put words in my mouth. I said, I asked you a simple question. This is, remember, 5 p.m. Okay, we're not even at the time of where we're supposed to be praying to Satan away. And I'm just like, okay, God, you have been opening my eyes. You are preparing me for some spiritual warfare. And he said, don't put words in my mouth. I said, I just asked you a simple yes or no question. Do you believe in hell? And you evaded the question. I said, are you even a priest? I feel like that was probably a bit much. I shouldn't have said that. And he got really, really offended. I said, I'm sorry, Father. I said, it's just part of our catechism. It's part of our faith that hell exists. And that's what we are trying to save people from. And I just looked at him and said, I'm going to pray for you tonight. And he said, do pray for me. So anyway, all this to say what? Pray for that priest. I pray to God that his heart was just illuminated afterwards, that God touched his heart and was like, Father, what are you doing? Like, take off the cloak, take off the collar, or
this is like Battle of Normandy, and like the guys are on the boat, and you know, like you see in the movies, like that thing, the drawbridge on the boat comes down, the first line they just drop and then they run. And it's like the general being like, yeah, I don't believe there's anyone with guns on the other side of the ship on the beach. And you're like, what? Because this thing's about to fall open, about to run out. And you're like, yeah, I'm not just so sure about that.
And this is what we train for. Like, this is what we train for. And it's happening at your gates. So anyway, that happened.
God bless you for that. I want everyone watching to realize that, you know, this happened to me where a priest said something really crazy in mass and I left the mass early. And I called my wife, Joy, and I said, hey, you wouldn't believe this. I told her, and she said, you go back right now and you tell that priest. If she's unless men or lay people actually talk to these priests, they're just going to continue with the nonsense. And so when we hear these things, we can be respectful and go to the priest afterwards and talk to him about this. It's not, you're not sinning when you do this. You're not
sinning. And it's part
sinning.
Of the church's
you're
history.
Asking the priest questions like, hey, I heard you say this in the homily. Did I misunderstand you?
Or did you misunderstand the catechism?
Or the gospel,
exactly. Yeah. And let's be very clear, like, heaven and hell are both real. Like, this is not a buffeteria situation, let alone for a priest. So that was step one. Step two, we recongregate back on the steps of Notre Dame at around 9:30. And by this point, all the priests that are showing up are wearing long black cassocks. And I'm like, all right, we got our people here. Like, these guys all know about both sides of this equation, if you will.
So wait, you're saying that you saw a bunch of guys show up in black cassocks, priests?
Yeah, so this was at the 9:30 when we started to pray the rosary.
So the mass was at 5.
Yes.
5 to, I'm guessing, 5:45.
Yeah, thereabouts. 5:46. I mean, we got places to be, Father.
And then the black cassocks show up. And I think I read the reports. This is SSPX, right?
Yeah, there were some SSPX guys. Yeah. My understanding was that Archbishop Prendergast was there as well to kind of bless the crowd.
Oh, wow.
I'm not too sure. I was way at the periphery, and there were a lot of people. And so,
is this 600 people, 1,000 people, 100 people?
I'd say about 300 people based on the counts. Like, we were sitting on the steps and actually counting people. So there was about 300 that we counted from, you know, our people, a lot of young people praying in Latin,
nice.
A lot of people that came prepared with the holy armors that had been afforded to us as Catholics. I'll show you a little bit about my kit.
Let's do a little show and tell.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a crucifix that Father, we'll say Father M, so I don't dox him or the parish that I'm attending, loaned me for the event. I've got a bunch of crucifixes, but Holy Spirit was calling me, ask Father for a crucifix. And as soon as I said, he's like, I know the exact one. And what was funny was that picture of my hand holding this crucifix with a brown scapular around it and the rosary in my hand ended up making all these headlines. I also brought a bunch of holy oil from St. Joseph's Oratory there. And so we blessed ourselves with holy oil, St. Joseph, of course, being the patron saint of Canada. Now, this is somewhat of a controversial item insofar as the priests that see this always laugh at me. I call this Ode to Jesus, okay? A simple dollar store spritz bottle, okay? And I fill it up with the holy water from... This one's got holy water from around the world that I've just kind of made a little melange of from everywhere from Jerusalem to different parts of Greece, from Matera, Tinos, Patmos. So this is like a real This is a real blend.
That's powerful stuff right there.
This is powerful stuff. Yeah. And, you know, you just like spritz it. Like you just spritz it. And so it was funny because
You mentioned the spritzing because I knew a traditional Latin Mass priest. He was a fraternity of St. Peter. And he said, you know, the aspergillium's good. You get the raindrops. But he mm-hmm. said he also likes in the homes the spritz because mm-hmm. you just get a bigger distribution of the holy water.
Absolutely. You know? And I mean, what's great about the spritz is too, is that I carry a small one inside my purse. It's great for sometimes if I'm feeling sketched out in the house, I'll just start going around and making crosses on like the windows and doors. It's just, I spray my plants with it sometimes, you know, you can never have too much holy water. And then I
wait, so you had that while you were there? Mm-hmm. You're just the spraying everywhere.
Yeah, why not? Okay. I don't know. Yeah. Although I do reckon that here in Canada, that probably would get chalked up to some sort of a hate crime or, I don't know, abuse of some sort. You know, if someone wanted to press charges against me for spritzing them with holy water, I probably would lose in a court of law here in Canada. So you got to do it on the down low.
Right.
And then I had my husband's rosary, which has the Benedictine medals inside of it. My husband was
unable to. Very powerful, good.
Of course, massively. You know, I've been in places where I've seen like full on supernatural. I know supernatural is not the only word you should use. What's it called? Preternatural.
That was one of our words yesterday. Preternatural.
I know.
And so we should repeat it. So supernatural is divine. It's the Holy Trinity. It's the saints, right? Everywhere God's grace is, that's supernatural. Preternatural means beyond nature. And you never say, like, if you have a demonic possession, you wouldn't say it's a supernatural event because that would be attributing it to God. You say preternatural, beyond our nature.
Yeah, so I've been in circumstances where I've seen preternatural things occur from, let's say, house blessings that were mm-hmm. very, very needed and demons literally fled. And we're talking about doors that were deadbolted, i.e. you need a key to open it, fly open and slam shut. Okay, mm-hmm. I've been present during those sorts of events, etc. And these sorts of, you know, extra holy armors that the Catholic faith affords us, you know, just bring them. There's no such thing as too much armor in battle. And then I also had the brown scapular as well. And we had giant icons of our Blessed Mother and our Lord. And I have to say, so getting back to the story, so we're all decked out, we're praying the rosary, and there's about 120 of us that park outside of the coven. There's several more, dozens more, that are lining the blocks.
Now, the coven, it's the name of the club, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And it's like a metal bar that's run by a Muslim man, as I understand it, from Iran.
A Muslim dude? From Iran. Interesting. I'll put this up big.
But don't forget, Pope Francis says that God willed diversity of religion. So let's just turn the page on that.
I see it. Yeah, it's a black and red building here. Mm-hmm. And it's a satanic club?
No, it's just like a heavy metal club. I mean, some people will say that a lot of heavy metal stuff is satanic. It's true, but there are a lot of heavy metal bands that actually are like deeply Christian as well, maybe a little bit wrong on some of the doctrine, etc. But it's not a you know, camp of self-quarantine. Like there's different parts of that Venn diagram. Yeah, yeah. And so, and I have to say the people we saw walking in there, so many people are like, oh, this is silly. It's just people who want to be part of a club. No, man, no. A lot of these people are straight up in the grips of the evil one and they know it.
They're for the unbaptism, right? They're trying to unbaptize themselves and renounce Christ formally in a public setting. Mm-hmm. You do this that, man. You invite that. That's how you get demons, people. That's how you get demons. You want to know how to get possessed? Go do that.
Yeah, it's you cannot, as you mentioned, get unbaptized, but it is a type of consecration, and you are opening the door for evil to come make a nesting place within your heart and your soul. And I will say the type of people that we saw walking in there were women who were essentially naked with nothing but some sort of hosiery over top, and it's never the bodies you want to see.
What's hosiery mean? I'm sorry.
Hosiery, it's like a fishnetty sort of thing. Like a fishnetty sort of thing where you can still see what's going on.
And they're just wearing like a giant like leotard. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And probably some like Doc Martin boots and some chains probably, huh?
Yeah, there was quite a bit of that. Well, and it actually went beyond that, and I'm going to work up to that. Number two, we saw there's a lot of women there, I will say. And it's so funny because I think
I'm curious, what male to female ratio going to a satanic mass, what is it?
I would say it was about 2-1 female. Ooh. And that for me is particularly striking because I always think about women within God's salvific plan and within salvific history and how, okay, Satan basically, you know, beguiles the woman first, who then goes on to, you know, say such and such to Adam. But then God promises redemption through the seed of a woman. How, right, besides the Sabbath, woman or a woman was the crown creation of our Lord. And it's just like this idea of how women have a very, you know, they always say like Catholics, it's a patriarchy. It is a patriarchy, but that's not to speak down on the sort of role that women have and how, I don't know, they play on, I guess, both sides of the good evil divide over here. But one of the most disturbing things that I saw while I was there, besides women wearing feminist AF, you can figure out what that means, with pro-abortion slogans on the back.
Serious.
Okay. Uh-huh. So these people, remember, there were homosexuals in the crowd. You could, I mean, call me a bigot, but you could just tell by their mannerisms, because I did get close to them. You could tell by their intonation, unless, I don't know, we've got something in the water in Ottawa, Canada. Right. People who were advocating abortion on their clothing. Right. This is all stuff that we know that, you know, we Catholics say this is satanic. It's like, like, here we go. But I actually saw people as well, women walking men on leashes. What? With these, with these latex masks over their faces. And I was thinking about, number one,
on the street.
Yes, going in and out of this place. And so
you'd get killed in Texas for doing that.
Yeah,
that's no weird. Wait, so they're like, you're telling me the men are on their hands and knees like a dog?
No, they were standing up this time. Oh, okay, although I have seen it before where the men have been on their hands and knees, but they're on a leash with a collar around them, and these women are walking them. And I was thinking, first of all, about this sort of, how dehumanizing that is, and how these people are going into a satanic mass, which the Canadian media, labeled, this champion of reason, champion of humanism and of freedom. And it's like, no, this is dehumanizing. This is not humanism, it's dehumanizing. And that it's us who, as Catholics, understand the fullness and the glory of what humanity means in God's creation and the fact that God himself became man.
Isn't that what we read in Genesis? You know, where the Satan as a serpent comes and says, no, you'll be like gods. You'll be transhuman.
Right.
You'll be above, you'll transcend, you'll go up, you'll become supernatural. And what happens is they get, like you said, dehumanized.
Yeah, massively.
All Satan's promises are empty.
Mm-hmm. Of course. But he comes to you with, like, a lot of the time, a tremendous amount of truth. And then there's that 2-3%, which essentially is the gateway to evil. I was talking with one of my friends, and we were chatting about Catherine of Siena. I don't know if I've talked to you about this before, but Catherine of Siena's sort of personal reflections on the difference between good and evil, and how good comes to you, like, i.e. that from Jesus, that from Christ, comes to you, and it sometimes can be bitter, but with time it becomes sweeter. But that from Satan begins as sweet and with time becomes more and more bitter. And so these people might see, like, freedom of religion, man, like, I'm not under the thumb of whatever, but with time it's like, you are in the grips of the evil one, and you are walking your boyfriend on a leash.
Yeah,
that can't be a good place to be, you know.
That's
so
bad.
It was really bad. But I gotta tell you some of the interesting kind of, like, spiritual fisticuffs that occurred while we were on the ground. So first of all, we had people who were coming into our group from the other side that were making noises that I can only describe as satanic or demonic. They were not normal human noises. I cannot even try to mimic them. I try to while relaying the story to my family.
Like growling or what?
Like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like sounds. I listened to the audio from the exorcism of that girl in Bavaria, was
Annalise.
It? Annalise. And it wasn't quite that high pitched, but there was like that sound to it. It was really just, I can't describe it.
Well, it's yesterday, Jesse Romero, because he's been around it too, he said it sounds closest to Gollum.
That's the best way, I think, I think that is absolutely the best way to describe it. So there were these Gollum noises. And so I had my guys with me and I was like, quick, like, let's encircle this guy who's come into our little area here.
Oh, he was coming into the Christians.
Yeah. And he was like making these noises. And my guys are like, they come from the political side of things. We're used to facing off in protests, etc. So for us, we're kind of like put me in, coach, you know, so they're ready to go. They're not at all timid in their faith. So I was like, hey, like, let's go circle him and like start praying an Ave Maria, start praying a Hail Mary. We literally said Hail Mary. We said Mother Mary's name. And it was like, the guy, like, I got goosebumps telling you, he took off.
Really?
With one utterance of Mary's name.
Wow. Awesome.
And I was like, okay, this is obviously some low ranking demon. If I could just hook one Mary and we're good to go. What else was weird? We saw locusts on the ground while we were praying. How weird. I was like, in the middle of the night, I was like, what is going on here? Yeah. But perhaps what was most startling was that there were several reports from different people who kind of came to me after, and they were all kind of chatting. So the Coven is on a lower level of what otherwise, I think that there's residential units above and there's the bar on the bottom.
You wouldn't want to live there.
Okay, so wait for it. So in the windows above, several people reported a shadow that had a human-like form, but no discernible features. And again, I got goosebumps, this whole cast. And a bunch of people reported, I was not looking up there. I had an icon of the Virgin Mary in front of my face for most of the time because I did not want to get on camera. And I wanted her to be out front.
So you have like an icon of the Blessed Mother?
Yeah.
Nice.
Serious. Yeah, really. And so several people from different pods within the group all reported the same thing to me. And I was like, holy smokes. One of them said she tried to wave. And then all of a sudden she got like, boom, 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 boom. Like, that's not a person. Something weird is happening.
Weird.
Mm-hmm. So, those were some of the weird kind of, spiritual divides, I guess you could say, that happened where we felt like we were kind of crossing into a different area. But then, you know, what was funny is I was thinking to myself, a couple of the women who were scantily clad came out and tried to argue. The Protestants were on the other side of the street. There was about a handful of them.
Yeah, now what's the deal with the Protestants there? I read this in the write-ups, but I didn't understand what was going on with Protestants there.
So they brought out a megaphone and were preaching the word of God. You know, perhaps we'll, quabble about.
Because Protestants, they don't have any crucifixes, they don't have any icons of Our Lady, rosaries, Hail Marys. They just got, their Bible.
Right. That's it. Right. You know that part of the Bible where it says sola scriptura? Neither do I.
Yeah. But anyway. They brought a spiritual knife to a spiritual gunfight.
Yeah, massively, and that became abundantly clear as the evening went on. This is not a street preacher environment. This is, like you said, Normandy, okay? And we are on the beaches, friends. Yeah. So here we are praying the Hail Marys. Here we are in tremendous numbers, and the proddies are going on. They're saying their little bits. On occasion, they're getting into yelling matches with one or two of the scantily dressed women over there. That's fine. It was interesting because as the evening went on, I started to, when Holy Spirit just sort of moves through you, and I thought, there hasn't been a big face-off. Like, I haven't felt that Satan has really gotten ticked off and he's like come out and taken swings at us. I said, Look, when is that going to happen? We know what's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, one of the Protestant preachers gets behind the microphone and starts preaching against the Catholics, starts preaching against Mother Mary, starts preaching against the rosary. And I was like, aha, I found you, Satan. There you
yes.
are. And I was thinking, I was like, wow, like he didn't even assume the body, whatever. He didn't infest one of the Satanists to come, but he actually, and don't forget that.
So Satan, how many Protestants are here?
Probably about 5, 10 max.
Okay.
Max. And so one of these guys gets up and he starts saying like, these people who are here for the satanic mass, I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to preach against them. It is you with the church who have sinned. It is you who has pushed them away. And you are hailing Mary? That is not within the Bible. What is she going to do? She is not the mother of God. And this is what you talked about earlier, that when you are
the Archangel Gabriel hailed her. Luke
That's
chapter
actually
one.
In the Bible, fam.
Look it up.
Actually. Yeah, and so he says, she's not the mother of God, and this was getting back to what you were saying about how to be wrong on Marianology makes you wrong on Christology, because if
Straight
she is
up.
The mother of Jesus, okay, yep. check, we all agree on that, but then is Jesus God? Then is she the mother of God? Like, where are you going, you know? This is like the syllogism game. And so anyway, he was like really going after it. And so I felt a call to cross the street and go pray close to him. And I had some holy salt on me. And so I was kind of praying it on the ground. I was praying and throwing it on the ground. And as soon as I got there, I was holding up my rosary and my crucifix. And, you know, I'm praying, I'm hiding my face, and I was, I don't know how, like,
you
God
got
give
all
me
your
like,
sacramentals, you got,
yeah, it was
got your disguise
scene.
On, I wish there was a good photo of you.
there are some, like, clips out there, but anyway, so, and I'm throwing salt on the ground, and all of a sudden, he, like, whips his head around. He said, and who's this lady here? Oh, she's holding up a picture of Mary. Oh, she's got her wooden beads.
Is he on like a microphone or just shouting?
No, he's on a microphone. And that means nothing. Your beads are going to do nothing. That will accomplish nothing. And I was just praying, and I was like, Mother Mary, like, this is your specialty. Crush the head.
This is really demonic. It's amazing to see that the serpent come out of another hole.
Absolutely. And so I was woke to what was going on the whole time. I had like a bird's eye view of the holy chess pieces, if you will. I knew, yeah. And I was like, who's the strongest player on this board? Oh yeah, the queen. And so anyway, I was praying, and within 90 seconds, Buddy goes from like puffed up chest, I'm here to protest Mother Mary as opposed to the literal Satanists. To deflated and microphone goes off, probably shut down shop and drive off. So
and you had the and were you like throwing salt on him, like holy salt?
Yeah, like it was just, I don't think he could understand what was going on. I
so
was like,
so someone just sent a picture. Here it is. You can't Salt Bay or there. That's the picture of you right there, just like Salt Bay. Yeah, you've got.
Yeah. Cute trick you got there, Satan. Yeah. Fixed.
If y'all are listening on iTunes, you got to check out the YouTube because we have fun pictures throughout.
It's true. But, you know, you gotta have fun with this stuff because we need to have stamina. And this is really, as far as I'm concerned, just the beginning, especially from a Canadian perspective. And I should mention this, that yesterday on Thursday was obviously the Feast of the Queenship of Mary. And in Canada, we had something called the Rosary Bowl, where Canadians descended on Ottawa to essentially perform a sort of like reconsecration, as I understand it, to Canada, which was consecrated in 1947. So wow. I reckon that this was partially the evil one just getting his metaphorical what's it's in a knot and trying to act out before he knew that this was coming.
Yeah, so that some people were saying, you know, because of the Assumption of Our Lady or in the East, the Dormition Feast on August 15th, then the Rosary Bowl was coming up, that the Satanists planned this as an attack on Our Lady. Do you think that's right or not?
Yeah, absolutely. And what kills me is the fact that our media were such complicit, useful idiots in this, insofar as, and this is something that I said on my own channel, Faith J. Goldie, but we can anticipate, I think, going forward, especially at just all Western civilized nations, that the media is now becoming completely brazen and essentially becoming propaganda tools for Satan himself.
Yes.
I'm not talking about lowercase evil. Okay, we know that they love abortion. Right. We know that they love homosexual unions. We know that they love euthanasia. But what they are doing now is they are naming the evil one, or Satanas, as we say in Greek, Satan himself, and they are saying, Hail Satan, question mark? Are these people really the torchbearers of liberty and freedom? Let's check. We have no freedom of religion here in Canada. I live in a state where every taxpayer, no matter your religion, is forced to hand over their shekels to pay for abortion in this country. Yep. Okay? There's no freedom of religion, and yet I'm supposed to be told that these people are allowed to desecrate the source and summit of our faith to perform an inversion of the Catholic Mass. But guess what? Here in Canada, if you so much as say that, you know, the Quran is something other than the holy word of some God that allows his prophet to marry six-year-olds, okay, then you're going to be going to jail for a hate crime.
Imagine if this was, hey, let's make fun of a mosque.
Everyone would have been rounded up and put in at very least, like, they'd be facing charges.
Yes.
If not in jail.
Yes.
That's not a joke. We have serious hate crime legislation here in Canada, and there are rules. And we used to actually have blasphemy laws here in Canada up until last year.
I know you
year.
Did. That's amazing. Yeah. We actually had them in America, too. Do you know that? We had blasphemy laws.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Based and red pilled, but based and blasphemy law pilled. Yeah. And this is something where, you know, I mentioned the fact that I'd like to bring back blasphemy laws. And I had a lot of these libertarian, you know, caved brain takes in my comments, being like, you sound like you want Sharia. You sound like you want to be a Muslim. And I was like, no, actually, if they want to have Sharia law in their countries over there, I don't care. I'm not going to live there. The second that they, with their Sharia laws, want to start killing Christians and coming into our countries, then I have a problem. That being said, though, the Middle East used to be Christian, lest we forget.
Yes.
You know, right. Look at a place like Lebanon, which used to be 80% Christian, wonderful Maronites. Yeah. Now there is a less than halving of their population. Iraq, Syria, we know those names.
Palestine.
They're in Egypt. The Bible. Go to Bethlehem. I dare anyone to go to Bethlehem, the place where our Lord and Savior was born. It is now majority Muslim.
Yeah, I was just there a few weeks ago.
Yeah. They have, I don't know.
Christians are just barely holding on there.
No, it's an ethnic cleansing there, or religious cleansing there. Absolutely it is. And we don't do anything about it. You know, it took two-thirds of Christendom to be taken over by the, you know, jackboot of Islam in order for the Vatican to finally be like, you know what, crusade now.
Yeah.
So, you know, my whole thing is that we have to hold on to the territories that we do have. We do have to be serious. God divided the nations in certain ways. He put likeness with likeness. And my thing is, I do want to live in a place where my God will not be offended. And I think it's
right.
Absolutely
if you... You know, if you come into my home, my house, and you curse the name of Jesus, you're going to be thrown out on the curb.
Heck yes.
You're my guest. This is my house. So the same thing if it has to do with my city or my state or my country. You may not believe the same as me, but if it's a Christian house, you honor that.
And the West...
Yeah.
Is a Christian house. Western civilization is Christian civilization.
See, that's a big thing that I've been doing. You know, I got a bunch of resolutions this year. One of them is to make the sign of the cross often in public, big, the right way.
Watch this. Triple the blessing now.
Yes. And then, you know, the other thing is, you know, we need to get away from the West. Mm-hmm. We need to say Christian Catholic society.
Christendom,
It's not just, you know, that we live west of Constantinople that made us somehow great. Mm-hmm. It's that our culture and society was transformed and infused by Catholic teaching.
Right. The West is a geographical location, and it is not the soil that made our nations great. It is the spirit that made our nations great.
Correct.
You could take people from whatever banana republic country and all transplant them to America 1776 and take all the people that were here and transplant them to the banana republic. Is it going to be the soil that makes those people great?
No
absolutely not. It is the spirit, and we have to get that through our heads. And this is something that I talk about a lot on my channel, is this idea of spiritual replacement. replacement insofar as we are living in nations right now where, at least my nation of Canada, 4 out of 5 of the people that we're bringing into this country are not co-religionists with ourselves. And so in the next 10 years in Canada, we are facing 9,000 churches being demolished, that as mosques are on the up and up. And we can say, ooh, you know, I put money in the basket, I'm just a quiet Catholic, you know. But at a certain point, we have to speak out, because if we as Catholics lose our voice in politics, as frankly we have here in Canada, well, you know, your country starts to look a whole lot different. And in a democracy, okay, you lose your autonomy, you lose your voting bloc, and you will become outnumbered. So if you're worried about my blasphemy laws, wait for the ones that are coming, friends.
Yeah, the Sharia blasphemy laws. Wait for those.
Yeah.
Because they won't
pose. It's not a joke. We have in Canada, we have something that's been passed federally called Motion 103, M103, which demands, and I quote, a whole of government approach to eliminating Islamophobia.
Yeah.
What does Islamophobia mean? Criticizing certain ideas about the roles of men and women, criticizing their prophets, the alleged prophet Muhammad's actions during his life, you know, questioning jihad, whether it be lesser or greater. Is that Islamophobia? The government doesn't tell us. Whole of government means the police, all levels, you know, municipal, provincial, federal, the government-owned news entities, whole of government approach to eliminating Islamophobia. That is a blasphemy law, but not so for the Christians.
I see it happening in places in America. How did Canada go down this road so fast?
We lost our faith.
Yeah.
We lost we lost our family values too, which are obviously.
How did that happen?
Well, I think
because I mean, especially Eastern Canada was so Catholic.
Right, right. And so Quebec used to be kind of the Catholic epicenter, of course, of our foundational history. These were women who, due to their own fecundity of 5-6 women on 5-6 children each woman on average, led to the population of our country in its nascence and going forward. But post-sexual revolution, there was something called the Quiet Revolution that swept Quebec, especially during kind of late 60s, early 70s, where Quebec went from hardcore, staunch Catholic to essentially mirroring what France does in their policy of laïcité, which is really it's militant separation of
Why French Church gotta and state. Be like that? Why French people have to be like that? They are on or off. You know what I mean? They're like, we love Mother Mary or we hate Catholicism. They are just...
There's no nuance in the French soul. There's no nuance, which I suppose is how God wants us. He doesn't want us lukewarm.
Even when they become Protestant, they're like, we're Calvinists, Huguenots, you know? Like, they have to be the most extreme of whatever. And I wish we could just flick that switch back over to Catholic and get them extreme again.
Amen. And I will say that we are seeing parts of Quebec now really getting the switch flipped,
really?
As you put
for
it.
Catholic?
They're starting with the nationalism, and slowly they're starting to realize that the nationalism has to do with traditionalism and their heritage, and they're slowly starting to go back. But there is some issues there when it comes to their ideas about linguistic nationalism as opposed to spiritual nationalism.
Right. See, this is my worry. I look at the conservative movements, and I'm worried that they rally to the wrong anchor.
Amen. I agree.
Which
completely.
Is just going to repeat the history. They have to run to Christ and the Catholic Church and the teaching of the Church. Otherwise, you're not going to have a robust response to all these problems. And let's just be honest, the demographics. If each family is having one, maybe two children. You're not going to be able to keep up in the demographics. I mean, part of our Catholic teaching is large families if you're able. That's a big part of the new...
But look, Taylor, look at who's doing nationalism the best right now in the world. Matteo Salvini, Viktor Orban, and Bolsonaro. What do all those three guys have in common? They kiss the rosary in public. They talk about how they don't want mass migration because they want to keep their countries Christian. Yes. They talk about how they're going to be outlawing LGBT brainwashing in their schools. These guys have put Christ and country together at the very front of their mandate. None of them are draping themselves in the flag alone. They're all holding the cross at the same time. And all of them are unafraid to talk about Our Blessed Mother as well. So people who are part of the nationalist, you know, movements across North America who say, oh, we want to be like this country, Viktor Orban is making incentives for families to have more children, literally financial incentives. You get, I think, $127,000 US equivalent if you have three children or more.
Awesome.
He's doing that, absolutely, but he's led not just by country but by Christ as well. And so all these nationalists who are like, oh, I'm a cultural Christian because I think it's civilizing for people, okay, you know, get yourself together. There's more. This is not just like a document, okay? Like I said, it's a spiritual, it's a spirit that helps lead our countries to greatness and has. Oh, you know, there's so much LARPing on the right where it's like, I wish we still had great architecture as opposed to these glass coffins in the sky. It's like, who do you think inspired and actually paid for that architecture and for that artwork? It was divinely inspired. Look what happened during the Renaissance. All the good stuff was literally paid for through Catholic patrons or through the church itself. Okay, so we have to get back to this as well. I want to ask you a question really quickly because I'm going to forget this. Maybe I should have asked this off camera, but I'm going to do it anyway. Just like as a side, what are your thoughts on, I mean, I obviously tithe, but what are your thoughts with all of the infiltration of the church right now and how that should be tied to our tithing? My only worry is tithing and continuing to give, you know, 10% of my income, et cetera, to the church going to slow down the Vatican from getting the message that we, the people, are not happy with the way things are being done right now?
Yeah, so I think each person needs to, a lot of it depends on your parish and your diocese, right? So, you know, if you live in a place like Tyler, Texas, you got Bishop Strickland and a lot of good things going, it's different than if you live in Chicago and you're under Cardinal Supich, or you're in New York City, and, right? And you're under,
so okay, I think that's a really good answer.
There
okay.
is an element of subsidiarity here, and it depends on what's actually happening on the ground where you live in your geography. I mean, if I lived in Germany, I guess you have to pay through the state tax, right? It's part of your income tax, right? But I wouldn't be supporting the German hierarchy 1 cent. But I think in general, it's best to close the wallet. And a lot of people will say, oh, but what about the local Catholic school? Well, most of the local Catholic schools are pretty poor. And by poor, I mean spiritually and doctrinally, not financially. There's just a lot of bureaucracy, and even, well, what about the seminaries? How are we going to get priests? For me, I support two seminaries directly because I know them to be good. One of them is the Fraternity of St. Peter, right? I support that because I've been there. I've met the professors. I've talked to the seminarians. I'm very much connected with what's going on there, and I believe in it. Right. Same thing with parishes. I generally speaking, depending, and again, there's exceptions, giving to the diocese and giving to the parish, I think, is a bad idea. I give money directly to pro-life stuff, and I give money directly to the formation of traditional priests and traditional parishes. And no one else gets a dime from me anymore. We used to do that. Well, you know, it'll work out. You know, God's in charge. He'll make. No, we are now in a place, and I'm convinced there's been so much infiltration in the church that we just close the wallet, and I don't feel bad about it at all.
Yeah, because I've been trying to pray on this, and like Holy Spirit was like, ask T. Marsh. Ask T. Marsh for like informed opinion. And so I think that's, I've got to kind of go back to the drawing board and figure out where I actually want my money to go.
Yeah, I think you and your husband sit down and you're like, so you know, we're obliged to help the church.
Yeah,
that does not necessarily mean give money to a cardinal.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe it's these completely awesome 20 men and women who are doing amazing pro-life work with the Catholic faith. That's supporting the church. Maybe it's, I know this one seminarian who's totally rock solid. I'm going to help him through seminary or buy him books or buy him cassocks or whatever. You know, like you're supporting the church. And so I just think instead of, it's so easy just to like write a check and throw it in the basket.
Totally.
I think we actually have to study and think, who is benefiting from this check? Do I believe in that? And honestly, it's going to be great because we're going to have people out there, you, others, who are going to now funnel great amount of money. We're talking millions of dollars from conservative traditional Catholics are going to start closing off those funnels of funding that are helping people pollute the faith. And we're going to see all this money dump in to really solid seminaries and priests and parishes and, you know, private schools or independent Catholic schools. And it's going to be, over the next 10 years, there's going to be a major dearth in vocations for these liberals and financial dropout. It's going to be amazing. Just wait. That's why people are attacking, you know, people, you know, who are saying these things like myself. They realize that there's a money issue coming. It's one thing to make a YouTube video, but when you see that the funds are dropping and they're going to have to start selling off all this property. So right, like the current cardinals and bishops don't really care because the next 10 years, they've got plenty of churches, property, real estate, school that they can just sell off and they can keep their $2.2 million mansion that they live in as a bishop. But once those things get sold off, you're going to see massive closings all over the U.S., Canada, Europe. We're already seeing it, but it's going to get real bad.
Mm-hmm. I saw that this one seminarian stepped in, or the head seminarian or some such thing in Buffalo, I think last week. And he kind of ended his call with, okay, laity, rise up. And the way that you rise up is close up those pocketbooks. Yep. And it just reminded me because every now and then I kind of think, and I suppose it's my own sloth, frankly, not looking into alternatives that how I should be investing my money differently. But I mean, I have to say a giant white pill from our time in Ottawa was how young so many of the priests and seminarians were, the sisters that were there as well with the Queenship of Mary. And it was just, it was really amazing. And I know that you've talked about it sometimes on your program, but this idea that there is a new generation rising within the church that are saying, we are not with this spirit. We are not with this stuff. We want a return to tradition. And actually, while I was in Ottawa, it was not difficult at all to find a traditional Latin mass for the next Sunday morning. It was full. There were a lot of young people, a lot of young families. You know, if it ain't crying, it's dying. A lot of crying going on in the back pews. And so I just thought, you know what? Like TLM is rising right now.
TLM is rising so huge right now that there are priests and bishops right now that just don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. They have so many people asking for it.
Yeah.
They have so many people asking for it, and they're like, do we have to do it? What's the safe way to do it? And this is happening all over the U.S.
Right. It's ridiculous. And, you know, for me, I mean, part of the equation is the seminary part of it is obviously the rite and how we practice the liturgy / mass. But the other part is that you touched on was the Catholic churches because of the Catholic schools, rather, because, you know, it's this whole idea of the next generation. And I recall I took a year off from school to discern a call to the nunnery, and I would sometimes do guest lectures in this one Catholic school in the Greater Toronto area. And the regular religious ed teacher who was there, she used to get in trouble for having statues of Our Lady and Saint Joseph on her desk. There were openly homosexual teachers there. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to name names here, but let's just say that our hierarchy in this province have really let a lot of things slip. We now have to have gay straight alliances within our Catholic schools if there is so much as one request from a student. Yep. Okay, and you are not required to tell the parents whether or not your kids are enrolled in this sort of
Catholic
thing.
Catholic schools.
My mom, my late mother,
Catholic
God
schools?
Rest her soul.
Is it Catholic schools?
Catholic schools, correct.
Yeah, so people,
Catholic schools.
Close the wallet on that.
Yeah.
Close the wallet on that.
My mom used to say that if ever she won the lottery, that she would just buy the Catholic school systems to make them Catholic again. And so regrettably now, if you want to send your kid to a truly Catholic school, you're going to have to open your pocketbook to send them to a private one because the ones in the public purse have just become overrun by Birkenstock wearing nuns. And it's just not a good scene whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, if you say, do you believe in hell? And he won't answer that question. He says, no. He needs to be cut off, folks. I mean, let's just say it. Everybody's thinking it. No one's saying it. Let's just say it. That guy needs to be cut off from our financial support.
Yep. Right? Absolutely.
If you're in a war and he sits on the back lines with a rifle doing nothing, no.
That's it.
No.
Throw them into
me. And you know how much it costs to make a priest?
How much?
It's about $50,000 a year. 7-8 years.
Yikes.
Carry the one. You know, $400,000 to make one of these guys.
Yikes.
So when one of these guys gets ordained and he leaves the priesthood, it's like, hey, thanks for that $400,000 student debt loan you just dropped on our laps as lay people.
That is brutal. I didn't know it was
every
that
priest
much.
Walking around, we invested $300,000 to $400,000 to get to
I
get
want
him
my
to
money
be a,
back.
What's that?
Like I said, I want my money back.
Yeah. Well,
can
and you know what?
Show me that basket it's, again.
It's worth it if he's a spiritual warrior and he's giving us the seven sacraments.
Yes.
He's baptizing our baby. I mean, we need him. We are Catholics. We don't believe in just Jesus and me. We need these priests to baptize our babies and to get us the Eucharist and to give us extreme unction and to hear our confessions and absolve us. I mean, we need these guys. So it is totally worth it to shell out and to train these men and get them right. But if we shell out and train these men and then they betray us,
mm-hmm.
either through sexual crimes, financial crimes, or doctrinal crimes, what a ripoff, you know?
Yeah, massively. And, you know, that isn't to say that there aren't a bunch of the sorts of priests, obviously, that you described who we need. But it's been my experience in the past couple of parishes that I've gone to that those priests that are the real deal, that are the black cassocks, that are, mm-hmm. you know,
praying
spending
the rosary
time,
every day,
praying the rosary,
in the confessional every day.
Exactly. All of this, that a lot of the time, these are the guys who are being reprimanded by the church hierarchy and are getting, you know, bopped around from parish to parish. They don't like the fact that they're bringing back TLM. They don't yep. like this stuff. And these are also the priests that I have experienced also do very well in the collections basket as well, because people want to be there. So they got more people and then people want to give. Yep. They want to give more. So anyway, I'm going to talk to my priest. I'm going to be at a different location this Sunday, but next Sunday I'm going to talk to him and ask where he wants to see the money go, if not to to the cardinals, so to speak.
That's right. I think it's very important that the priest that we know, we love, that we are spiritually fed, we need to talk to them and say, what do we need? We need a new building.
Mm-hmm.
You need vestments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how's your mm-hmm. car? You know, that doesn't
yeah,
mean he
totally.
Needs like a brand new BMW
Mercedes.
Or whatever, but how's your car? Do you need gas money? What do you need? And just mm-hmm. make it happen.
Absolutely.
Make these guys excel, because you know we have to help the good guys. We have and
yeah.
anything that you give and you're like, I'm not quite sure. It's just like an investment. I don't really understand how this guy wants me to invest in X. I don't really understand how X works. If you don't understand how X works, do not invest in that.
Yeah, massively.
Only invest in things that you understand. And that's the
right.
same thing spiritually. Only invest in the things that you understand that you know are good. This is subsidiarity. I'm not mm-hmm. going to write a check to Peter's Pence, to the Pope, and then he sends money for a big publicity stunt on the Mexican border, right, for migrants. Like, that's not why we give to Peter's Pence.
That's not why not why we give.
Right.
Yeah, no, I'm very blessed right now. I'm going to a great parish with a great priest who is willing to talk about the issues. And here in Canada, we have no shortage of issues that face us as, right. you know, traditionalists, as Catholics. I live in a country right now where abortion is legal for any reason during all 9 months of gestation. We have socialized health care, which now covers euthanasia for any illness, irremediable illness,
any
psychological
illness.
Psychological or physical.
Wait. So I break my arm and I can get euthanasia?
Well, it has to be irremediable. So it has to be, you have to show that, you know, it's
I got
not,
cancer.
Yeah, cancer for sure.
Yeah.
ALS, even severe depression. There's questions around anorexia nervosa, these sorts of things where it's like, it goes on and on. And our Supreme Court of Canada ruled for that, you know. It's we've had homosexual unions here for who knows how long, but I mean, this business even of just the abortion for any reason during all 9 months, it's like us and North Korea. We're supposed to be a civilized nation,
right.
but we don't function like that. And we're now in the process of jurisdiction by jurisdiction banning conversion therapy, which mm-hmm. if you have a natural knee-jerk reaction to that, frankly, it just means you haven't done the research on it. This is actually a freedom of thought issue, as far as I'm concerned. If you are living in that sort of lifestyle and you want to get this therapy, you should be allowed to have
that.
Yeah,
I don't understand how people could be against conversion therapy and yet pro-transgenderism.
No, because it's only freedom of choice and the choices that we want you to make.
Exactly. Like, I if you want to make a choice for a therapy, choose it. Right.
Yeah. And some of the therapies, and including stuff like abortion, but some of the therapies, including gender reassignment and hormone therapies, are indeed state funded. They're taxpayer funded. Right. And wait for this. We just have a case now out in BC where a young child wants to get hormone replacements, like therapies done. And the child's father is saying, no, please, God, no. And the court just ruled that the child will be able to proceed with hormone replacement, despite what the father says. I live in a province, Taylor, where we've got something called Bill 89, that Children's Aid Services, i.e. agents of the state, are allowed to come into your home and take your children if you do not allow your child to go through the sort of gender reassignment that they want, yeah, or even address them by the gender pronouns that they want.
Right.
The state can take your child away. So we need priests talking about this sort of stuff. We cannot have priests who are up here talking about Jesus is kumbaya, you know, and thanks very much, everyone. Here's some wine and some crackers. See you later.
Second it's not collection that goes to whatever.
Yeah, this is not it. We need ministry here at home.
Well, I mean, Canada so bad? I mean, all the cool Canadians I know left.
Don't tempt me. Don't tempt me.
I mean, it seems like if you live in a nation where essentially what you're articulating, Faith, is the state owns your child, not you. Mm-hmm. That's what you're articulating. If the state can come in and just take your child for mm-hmm. something as arbitrary as pronouns, that means that Canada has implicitly, if not explicitly, stated when a man and a woman have a baby, the baby isn't yours.
Well, yeah, and I've had interviews with teachers who have referred to themselves as, quote, co-parents. No, you're not.
Yeah, you're the
teacher. No, you're not. You're the teacher. I'm the parent. That's it. Like, right. There's no co-parenting stuff. The only person I co-parent with is my spouse, yes. Right? But I now live in a province where we just brought back a sex ed curriculum, and I won't get into the details because I don't know if kids are watching this program, etc. But like, they're scarier than the black mass, as far as I'm concerned. And the document was actually written by a convicted child pornographer.
I think I either read this or saw you did a video on this.
Yeah, that's right. I was the only journalist in Canada who actually covered
the guy who wrote this curriculum is a convicted
child pornographer.
Yeah.
Making, distributing, and counseling sexual assault. Those are all the things that he's been convicted of.
Yeah, and he wrote the program.
Yeah. It's literally grooming children.
It's insanity. This is total insanity.
Yeah, and so that's why we need our priests more than ever, and we need them to be muscular. So any priest who is watching this who is in Canada,
wait, don't you mean the priests need to be jacked?
They need to be jacked, you know. It's my old.
You mean they need to actually speak?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's no the stakes are far too high, and the Canadian situation is so far gone that our Catholic Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who should be excommunicated.
Yes, exactly.
Anyone's listening, okay? He should be excommunicated. He is someone who is barred pro-lifers from his party. Okay, mm-hmm. We need church leadership right now because our Lord knows we are not getting any leadership from any of the political parties right now. The Conservative Party of Canada has started making fun of people who stand up for traditional marriage on their Twitter account.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need strong priests. Hello, please.
What would happen if priests stood up and started saying this? They'd go to jail, right?
There's a possibility. I mean, there's already a possibility. I've looked at certain parts of, obviously, scripture where I'm like, how long until this becomes banned in Canada? We had a preacher who was arrested down in the gayborhood, as we call it, in Toronto for preaching scripture.
Yeah, Romans 1. Didn't you preach Romans 1?
Romans 1. There's, yeah. I think, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, where it talks about, you know, where evildoers are going.
Yes.
And it starts to enumerate what evildoers mean, including a man having relations with a man. Okay.
Yeah.
So technically, that stuff can be seen as a hate crime or hate speech here in Canada. But the point of the matter is, you know, our faith is, you know, it grows with the seed of the martyrs, so to speak. And I'm not asking you to lay down your life per se, but we've got lay martyrs who have spent years in prison in this country for protesting outside of abortion clinics. Right. We have real heroes in this country. And I'm sorry, but like the fathers in this country really need to start to respond to the call, because we need to be firing on all cylinders right now, especially since it is an election year. We should be, as a body of Christ, saying this is what we want and this is what we will no longer tolerate. And it shouldn't, frankly, be up to a 30-year-old girl on YouTube who has not taken any vows besides marriage to be talking about this stuff. And I'm very, very sorry, and I'm not trying to say this in a place of pride, but it really breaks my heart sometimes, T. Marsh. It breaks my heart that our country feels like it's slipping through our fingertips, and we've got priests out there who don't even believe in hell.
I know.
For Pete's sakes, man, get it together.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no. Speaking of the solution, we haven't talked about the Rosary Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
What's the Rosary Bowl?
Okay, so it was like a bunch of people getting together in Ottawa for the Queenship of Mary, but it was essentially a whole bunch of nuns and fathers and other kind of like, you know, kids who actually went to, you know, real Catholic schools getting together and praying the rosary, essentially.
I'm thinking Rosary Bowl in Texas, that means it's like a big football stadium.
It was a big football stadium. Now, okay. Regrettably, I was unable to attend that one because yesterday was my in-law's 33rd marriage anniversary, so congratulations to them.
Congratulations and props to them. Very good.
Yeah, so I was cooking for the whole family, etc. So I was praying my several rosaries at home while, you know, finicking about the kitchen. And it looked like it was a great turnout. I kind of wish that there were more people.
What was the turnout for Rosary Bowl?
I don't know the exact numbers, which means that it probably wasn't exactly good. I don't think that the stadium was indeed full.
Yeah.
But hey, the important part is that people are praying the rosary and turning back to the rosary, especially in our nation's capital. I think that is so, so wonderful. And I do know that people from across the country were also praying in various locations together. I know my parish had an all day long kind of like personal rosary-a-thon, if you will. Mm-hmm. So all day long, people were praying the rosary, like on the half hour or hour marks, etc. And so that was good. And I think we need more of, you know, those images of people on the Polish border all praying the rosary together.
Amen to that.
We need more on my channel. We're just wrapping up a 33-day rosary pledge where everyone's going to pray a rosary every single day for 33 days.
Awesome.
And hey, if you want to keep it going on for more than 33 days, I'll be doing that with you. So I hope everyone keeps on praying the rosary.
Every blessed day. The name of your YouTube channel is Faith. There's a middle initial in there.
J.
Faith J. Goldie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So everybody check out Faith J. Goldie. So I'm going to say something about Canadians. I don't want to offend Canadians.
Oh, here we go.
I'm from Texas, so I'm really far away from Canada. Canadians seem to be apologetic, and I'm as you're explaining the Rosary Bowl, I'm kind of like thinking of it like, oh, this is so Canadian. It's like, we know there's satanic masses. We know Justin Trudeau. We know the sex ed. We know all these problems. And we're just going to like push it deep down inside and go pray a rosary. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why are Canadians like that?
Well, there's several different reasons. Not the least of which is that unlike our American neighbors, we do not have the same sort of revolutionary history.
Yeah,
we do not have
the
same sort of psyche. The only people who really do have a pushback at the man, so to speak, within our national fabric are the Quebecois. They are the ones who basically kind of pulled the short straw on the Plains of Abraham and became subject to their you know, British overlords. But they were allowed to remain distinct people, etc. So we have always been kind of a go-along to get along sort of people, get along to go along, whatever, sort of people. And on top of that, this is something that I struggle with, honestly, on a daily basis, Taylor. Mm-hmm. Because I try to be more of a Mary, but God knows I got a lot of Martha in me. And I constantly want to be active. I want to be doing stuff. And I think it's so silly that for every single rally that I want to attend, for every sort of event that I want to do, that there's not more infrastructure. It's starting to rise. I would just like to see the Catholics be really at the forefront. The Black Mass was a great example of Catholics rising to the occasion, of answering the call. We need more of that. The same way that I've had anyone who watches this channel, I might be a new name for most folks. That's very cool. Hello. But for other people who do know me, know that I'm somewhat of a controversial figure here in Canada. I have not had a speaking engagement in years, because every single speaking, one that I can successfully follow through, because every single speaking engagement that I have, fire alarms are pulled, people come in and protest, they ding me $28,000 in security fees because of threats against the venues, etc. So they talk about safe spaces all the time, and they don't allow me to have one. My thing is that Catholics, we should not be allowing evildoers to have a safe space either. And I mean that spiritually. We should be around them. We should be praying around them. We should be writing petitions. We should be physically present in their spaces.
Yes.
Our hands up at the Q&As saying, well, what about this? What about the consequences of that?
Right.
You say this is science. It's not. It's political ideology and the sort of stuff that I never got a say in.
Yeah.
Right? So we have to be in their space. And in this sense, like, I think that we do have to sort of mimic their motions sometimes, but do so in a holy vein. So why? I don't know. I think there is also atomization in today's day and age. And, you know, America's not immune to this. You just have more people. So we're 1/10 of the population. So if you host an event versus us, obviously you're going to get 10 times as many people.
Right.
But I think atomization really plays into it as well. People have forgotten how to think as a collective. We've been so drunk on this potion of individualism, mm-hmm. that we forget about the family. We also forget about the future. We think about the next 4 years. We think about the 9 to 5. We don't think generationally.
The reason for that, I've noticed, like, this is even in Texas, the people who only care about the political cycle or just getting their bonus at Christmas, like that's their foresight,
mm-hmm.
are usually people who are not married or do not have children.
Amen. You don't have this,
like,
idea.
When you, as soon as a child emerges in the womb, you're like, minimum 18-year viewpoint from that point on. You can no longer be nearsighted. You're immediately like, what are the school districts like? What's the crime rate in our township? You know, all the questions are like, you want to know them right away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where do we get your kids baptized? Where's a good priest? First communion class, all these things just start popping up. Mm-hmm. Before that, it's kind of like, you know, where do you want to eat dinner on Friday night?
Yeah, totally. Well, and I, you know, I'm in a country where the replacement rate,
birth rate there?
1.5. And it's significantly higher among immigrant communities than it is from, you know, let's say second generation Canadians.
Right.
And they don't make it easier too. I mean, in Canada, I had a friend who somehow misfiled her taxes. She accidentally put down that she was a single mother as opposed to a married mother. And it was her first interview. They teach you, you know, all sorts of sinister sexual things in school, but they don't teach you how to file your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so she gets a call from our equivalent of the IRS, the CRA, and they said, blah, 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 we found out that you're married. She said, oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that, like, my mistake. And they said, well, we're going to have to dock your baby bonus pay by about, like, it's now, let's say it was $1,000 a month, let's just say. Now it's down to about $150. So she said, you're penalizing me that much
for being married?
She said, I, statistically speaking, my child is going to cost the system a lot less in the long run. Why am I being docked so much? And she said, and I want to stay at home. I want to homeschool my kids. Like, I'm literally taking as little as I possibly can from the government, and I'm going to charge you less going forward, but I'm going to be afforded this little crumb in comparison.
That's
they don't
ridiculous.
Encourage you to have children here whatsoever. And you're 100% right. And that's what leads to the egocentricism. And that's what leads to the here and now and just bad country planning, we'll say.
Yeah,
bad country planning.
Hungary's doing some amazing things right now.
Praise God. Absolutely.
I am just super impressed by the policies they're putting in. You know, if you have, I think, is it 4 kids, you don't pay income tax?
That's right. 4 kids, no income tax.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll take care of my own family with the money I earned.
Exactly.
I don't need the government.
Exactly.
Epic. And now guess what? A family that was having 2 kids are thinking, let's have 4. Why not?
Well, yeah, I mean, it always comes into play. I don't care how traditional Catholic you are. I'm a father of 8. I don't care how holy you are and sainted you are and how many daily masses you attend and rosary you pray. every time you have a child, you're like, and you start calculating money and you get a little scared. I ain't going to lie.
Of course. Of course.
Right? You're like, man, you know, and then you look at your tax bill and you're like, wow, if I had a third of that money back, it'd be a whole lot easier to have this baby, right? It's a fact. So when governments want to grow their nation and honestly create a tax base from the native people as opposed to importing them, and they don't even really pay that much taxes anyway in the first couple of generations, it's kind of a dumb plan. Why not help the people who are actually creating the next tax base? And again, people aren't a tax base, but if you want to be very cynical about how politicians think of a nation.
Totally.
Why not? You know?
Yeah. Well, it's because everything's backwards. And, you know, I don't know how many times I've said this, but, you know, we could, in Canada right now, we keep on being told there's a job shortage. We have a declining population. We're not replacing ourselves. And so what we have to do is import the third world, which is largely, Islam. You know, Muslim men of military age. That's who's coming in both legally and illegally. Sounds great, you know. And it's just a... You have to just wonder what they're up to, the government. You have to wonder what they're up to, that they're disincentivizing and penalizing married people from having children, but are happy to throw all this money at bringing in refugees and legal migrants from, frankly, you know, other nations that do not function the same way we do.
Yeah.
Or have the same values.
So before we close up, here's kind of a global meta question.
Mm-hmm.
Governments like Canada,
mm-hmm.
are they encouraging and Germany and, you know, name any Western liberal nation, are they encouraging Islamic immigration because they're anti-Christian? Like, let's replace a spiritual patrimony? Mm-hmm. Or is it because the politicians are bought and purchased by extremely rich multi-billionaire Middle Eastern sheikhs?
Or is it a third or fourth option? Yeah, I think it's one and third option. So these people function beyond money, right? Money is only one part of what motivates them. It's power. And number one, I will say that I do believe that a tremendous amount of the upper echelon within the political arena internationally are indeed within the hands of the evil one. I have sat down with some of these people. I won't name them, but I mean, we're talking about, maybe you can tell from my impression here. I remember asking one guy, you know, do you believe in God? And he said, I believe in a world of transcendental ideals. He's a former part of American history. I'll just leave it there. But anyway, so these people are, you know, in the hands of the evil one. But getting back to the mass Muslim migration, it's very, very simple for me. Muslim countries, how do they function in comparison to Christian countries, or I should say, you know, ones that have inherited, you know, or were previously Christian? Muslim countries work under intense tyranny and populist submission to government, right? That is inherent within their legal/scriptural.
Yeah, they don't have church and state, they have state.
No. Everything's together, right? That's part of the reason why Islam took off within the African continent, is because it was not just a religion, it was also a calendar, it was a legal code, it was a way to fashion your governments. It was just kind of like a one size fits all. Okay, great, like they're gonna take over this. So what we've learned from, you know, Muslim countries is that governments rule, and that the wealthy are very wealthy there. Like, you think our millionaires and multimillionaires do well? Wait till you see how they live in the Middle East. Okay. Yes. These guys have got personal entourages and details and bulletproof windows on their Bentleys and Rolls Royces. Okay. It's like a whole different scene. Okay. Compare that with Christian countries, where we have the only thing that we have, you know, within our scripture when it comes to giving breath and giving life to some sort of a government structure is personal responsibility. This idea of it really is, I mean, we've kind of perverted to a curse of choice, but there is really a freedom of choice within our religion. Like, God doesn't come down, well, he did, but, you know, I'd say, like, you have to believe in me, right? We do have personal choice in all of this. And so there is something.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. Christ knows Judas is going to betray him, and he's like, mm-hmm. "Do what you're going to do." Like, you know what I mean? When God comes down through the incarnation, the Son of God, he doesn't come down with a sword. He's not at all like Muhammad. He doesn't have a harem of women, right? He comes down and he's a prophet. He's a celibate, and He allows evil even to enter into his own life, and that's the means by which he redeems and saved. It's a beautiful message, right? So you're right. I mean, it's not a mistake, or it's not random that secular libertarianism and all this, the French Revolution and the Libertas and all that, comes out of a Christian tradition. It's an abuse of the message. But that would have never come out of Islam.
No, still waiting on that, that Muslim, Reformation or Muslim Enlightenment, still waiting on that. Although some people, maybe Sasanian Empire, will say that. Anyway, that's like kind of a digression. But point of the matter is, they're easier to control than we are. That's why they're bringing them in, is that from a political standpoint, this idea of, hey, you know what, we really want to get more tyrannical, we really want to be more involved in our people's lives, you know what we could just do is replace our populace with people who are already used to that.
Yeah.
So this is not to be taken lightly. And for people who think of this as just some sort of like political battle, friends, you're missing the message. This is deeply spiritual. For anyone to want to destroy the nations is not with God, okay? Mm-hmm. God created them, Table of Nations. We're talking about Genesis. Father told me a really cool story the other day. Did you know the European Union, you know their flag? With the stars?
Yes.
Do you know it was a Catholic artist who did that flag, and it's got 12 stars on it from Mother
Mary?
Yeah,
for Our Lady, right?
I didn't even know that. Oh. I just learned it the other day, and I was like, aha, God will not be mocked.
Yeah.
You know? And so anyway, that's what I think. I think that basically this spiritual replacement / population replacement is all a intergenerational plan. It's not going to take too long. We're about 25 years away from his domestic populations basically becoming minorities, and Catholicism and Christianity is not going to be the religion of choice in most of these jurisdictions. Yeah. See Germany, see France, see Canada, see the UK, where Muhammad has been the top name since 2012 in London. Okay. So, and see, we've got massive Muslim demonstrations in our country. We've had them across Europe. I mean, America is in a strange way, I don't want to say blessed, but your illegal invasion, frankly, is happening from, at least a fellow Christian nation, as opposed to us, where, it's really oil and vinegar hours. And so, people need to get woken up to this, and we have to really pray for great political leaders and great spiritual leaders. And we have to be active Catholics. We cannot sit on our butt and just hope that, here he comes riding on a cloud, that Jesus is going to come down and save the day. Like, we got to do something. Okay. Yeah. Sorry for subjecting everyone to my voice.
Yeah. I'm going to close up saying I got to pray the rosary, but also this is almost like crazy to say in the Catholic Church. Now we have to evangelize other people. There's like 7 billion people on the planet. A billion are Catholic. If each of us can evangelize 7 people in our whole lives, we would take over the whole planet. The Great Commission would come true. Mm-hmm. And so that's just like, could you help bring, through your prayers and witness and your righteousness of life, God willing, and your teaching, one person every decade of your life? Mm. Like, would we take up that challenge? We need to take up that challenge. And then also, for those called to matrimony, if you procreate children, and let's just say on average you have 4 or 5, in 25 years you just quadrupled or more the Catholic population. Mm-hmm. And that's not cheating. That's part of God's plan. We have sacrament of marriage. It's a sacrament. We have babies, and then we baptize those babies. Like, this is part of Catholicism. It's part of evangelism. So if we could do an external outreach and just each of us get 7 through evangelization, and then also those who are married to be generous and have a family, it's done. It's done in like not that long. And it's doable. Like, when you think of it in these numbers, it is doable.
You're here. So divine demographics, Project Baptism / baby making. You heard it here. Go forth, baptize and baby make.
Yep. Make babies and baptize them. It's awesome. Yeah. It's fun.
That's it.
Great photos, cute little children. It's great,
Here, here. Well, this is a blast. I had a lot of fun.
Yes, thanks for coming on, Faith. So Faith has a really big YouTube channel, way bigger than mine, and it's at Faith J. Goldie.
We're getting shadow banned all the time, so please share on your social medias because everywhere else we're banned off of. Too much truth, as my old boss used to tell me.
Gonna shut that down. Shut that down. So yeah, and if you like this video, please, there's a little share button beneath the video. Go ahead and hit share, and then share it on Facebook and or Twitter, and let people know about this video. Also, like this video. That tells YouTube that it's a good video. Not that YouTube's going to care that much on it. And what else? Oh, subscribe to the channel. Hit the bell so you get notified. Has your bell been breaking?
Oh, no one gets notifications.
Yeah,
when I go
mine
live.
Too. Zero Everyone's people. Saying I hit notifications on YouTube, and then I don't ever get notified.
It's a moving target. These
yeah,
YouTube
it is a moving
people.
Target.
But
anyway,
we love YouTube, and we
yeah,
love
subscribe
being here.
And hit the bell, and hopefully you'll get notified. And if you listen on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, please leave a review. And we're going to say a prayer. We'll say our Hail Mary in Latin. And then also support on Patreon. If you support me monthly, I'll send you signed books, merch, other cool stuff. Okay, so let's pray our closing prayer in Latin. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Amen.
All right, everyone. Thanks for watching. Thank you, Faith. Everybody check out Faith's channel, and we'll see you in the videos to come. Oh, pray that rosary. Don't
pray
stop
that rosary.
Every day. God bless.
God bless.